Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the E.I.D. Parry Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to E.I.D. Parry's Q2 FY23 earnings call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. We thank the E.I.D. Parry management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. On the call today, we have representing E.I.D. Parry management, Mr. Suresh, our Managing Director, Mr. Muthiah Murugappan, Whole-time Director and CEO, Mr. Suresh Kannan, Whole-time Director, Parry Sugars Refinery India Private Limited, Mr. A. Sridhar, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Biswa Mohan Rath, Company Secretary. I'll hand over the call to the E.I.D. Parry management to make the opening comments, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A session. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Good afternoon, all. I am Suresh from E.I.D. Parry. It gives me great pleasure to be part of this analyst call to share an update on the global and Indian scenario and explain the Q2 performance of the company. On the global scenario, higher crops, especially in Brazil and India, is expected to result in a global surplus for the sugar year 2022-2023. Surplus sugar and global macros in the form of strong USD is bearish for the commodities, keeping the sugar prices range-bound. However, trade flows, especially in DOAS, are tight in near time, necessitating Indian sugar to flow to global markets. Therefore, raw sugar prices have to move up in the near term to facilitate the same. Change in Brazilian fuel tax policy in medium term also can increase the floor price. Coming to Indian scenario, for the sugar year 2022-2023, the sugar production in India is expected to be around 36.5 million tons after diversion of 4.5 million tons to ethanol. While the FRP has been increased to rupees 3,050 at 10.25% recovery for sugar year 2022-2023, there has not been any increase in the MSP. The government has recently announced the export policy for sugar year 2022-2023 for 6 million tons to be exported by May 2023. It is encouraging to note that the ethanol prices have been increased for the ethanol year 2022-2023. Coming to the standalone performance for the quarter and half year ended 30th September 2022. Operating performance of the company during the quarter on a standalone basis was significantly better than the corresponding quarter of the previous year on account of better volumes and realization in sugar, power, and distillery. The company crushed around 8.38 lakh metric tons in the current quarter as against the 6.6 lakh metric tons in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Higher power tariff rates helped in better profitability of the power segment. Distillery profitability has been lower due to higher fuel costs. The standalone revenue from operations for the quarter ended 30th September 2022 was 646 crores, registering a growth of 47% as against rupees 438 crores in the corresponding quarter of previous year. Earnings before depreciation, interest, and taxes, EBITDA, for the quarter ended was rupees 125 crores as against rupees 115 crores in the corresponding quarter of previous year. Standalone profit after tax for the quarter was rupees 85 crores as against rupees 73 crores in the corresponding quarter of previous year. The standalone revenue from operations for the half year ended 30th September 2022 was rupees 1,368 crores, registering a growth of 54% as against rupees 888 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year. Earnings before depreciation, interest, and taxes, EBITDA before exceptional items for the half year ended was rupees 136 crores against rupees 111 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year. Standalone profit after tax for the half year ended was rupees 98 crores as against rupees 40 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year. The Salt Lake unit, 120 KLPD multi-feed distillery unit project is progressing as per schedule and should commence production as per the plan. During the quarter, the board has approved setting up of a 120 KLPD distillery in Haldia with a capital outlay of rupees 181 crores. Now, coming to the consolidated performance for the quarter and half year ending 30th September. The consolidated revenue from operations for the quarter ended 30th September was ₹11,328 crore, registering an increase of 62% as against ₹6,978 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Earnings before depreciation, interest and taxes for the quarter ended 30th September 2022 was ₹978 crores, registering an increase of 27% as against ₹772 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Consolidated profit after tax and non-controlling interest was ₹241 crores compared to ₹244 crores in corresponding quarter of previous year. The consolidated revenue from operations for the half year ended 30th September 2022 was ₹18,474 crores, registering an increase of 63% against ₹11,333 crores in the corresponding period of previous year. Earnings before depreciation, interest and taxes and before exceptional items for the half year ended 30th September was ₹1,732 crores as against ₹1,266 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year. Consolidated profit after tax and non-controlling interest was ₹518 crores compared to ₹376 crores in the corresponding period of previous year. On the sugar division, the consolidated sugar operations, including the refinery business, reported a loss before interest and tax of ₹155 crores for the quarter. Corresponding quarter of the previous year, loss was around ₹28 crores. Refinery business had a setback during Q2 as there were two accidents at the factory, which resulted in the stoppage of the factory. Though the factory had an excellent good safety record, we had to perform several audits to restore the factory to normal operations. Factory is up and running from October, and this the accidents have resulted in some damages. Coming to farm inputs division, the consolidated farm input operations reported a profit before interest and tax of ₹1,061 crores for the quarter. Corresponding quarter of previous year, the profit was ₹732 crores. Nutraceuticals division. For the quarter, consolidated nutraceuticals division registered a loss before interest and tax of ₹3 crores. The corresponding quarter of the previous year had a loss of ₹8 crores. I'm glad to announce that the Board of Directors at its meeting held on 11th November 2022 have approved an interim dividend of ₹5.50 per equity share. That is 550% on a face value of ₹1 each. Now I would request Mr. Sridhar, our CFO, to explain you on the segment-wise financial performance. Over to you, Mr. Sridhar.
Thank you, Suresh, and good afternoon to all participants. It's a great pleasure to be part of this analyst call and to share the key information on the operating and financial performance of the company. I would like to share the key operating parameters of each of our segments. On the sugar operations, the crushing at Nellikuppam and the Pugalur units were carried out for 77 days and 89 days respectively during this quarter. I would like to share the quantitative details as under. As far as the crushing is concerned, we crushed about 8.38 lakh metric tons when compared to the previous year same quarter, where it was at 6,60,000 metric tons. On the recovery for quarter two, we were at 8.86% compared to last year, the corresponding quarter of previous year, which was at 8.71%. The production was around 0.65 lakh metric tons against corresponding quarter of previous year, which was at 0.57 lakh metric tons. The cane cost for the quarter two procurement cost was at ₹3,062 per metric ton, and last year same period it was ₹2,971 per metric ton. For the quarter two, we achieved a sales volume of around 1.17 lakh metric tons, of which domestic was 0.90 lakh metric tons and export was 0.27 lakh metric tons. And the previous year we were at 0.84 lakh metric tons, of which domestic was 0.77 lakh metric tons and export was 0.07 lakh metric tons. With reference to the selling price for quarter two, we were at ₹35.99 per kilo against the previous year price of ₹34.76. The closing stock was at 0.85 lakh metric tons as of end September 2022. Revenue from sugar was at 466 crores in quarter two, as against the previous year, which was at 313 crores. And this is an increase of about 49% over the previous year. No cane dues as of today. All FRP is paid on time. Getting into cogen segment, the power generation during quarter two was at around 716 lakh units against previous year, which was at 570 lakh units, of which we have exported around 380 lakh against previous year, which was at 287 lakh units. The average rate for the quarter was 4.46 per unit, as against the previous year, which was at rupees 3.34 per unit. Revenue for the quarter was rupees 28 crores against previous year, which was rupees 18 crores. As far as our distillery operations are concerned, we sold around 231 lakh liters in the second quarter, as against the previous year number of 165 lakh liters, of which ENA was 61 lakh liters for the current year and the second quarter, and last year second quarter was 62 lakh liters, and ethanol was 170 lakh liters and the previous year number was 103 lakh liters. On the price realization, we fetched rupees 58.38 per liter, as against the previous year realization of rupees 54.55 per liter. On the revenue front, we were at 140 crores compared to previous year, which was at 92 crores. On the Nutra segment, for quarter two, the turnover from Indian operations were at about rupees 22 crores, as against the previous year number of 21 crores. At the consolidated level, the Nutra business turnover was at rupees 73 crores against the corresponding previous year, which was rupees 62 crores. With reference to refinery operations, the operational revenue for quarter two was at 582 crores, and last year we were at 350 crores, and the PBT for the quarter was a loss of about 148 crores versus a loss of 15.5 crores in the previous year. The refined sugar production for the quarter two was at 0.97 lakh metric tons, and the previous year number was 0.33 lakh metric tons. Refined sugar sales for quarter two was 1.48 lakh metric tons, and the previous year number was 1.24 lakh metric tons. The long-term loan continues to be at 200 crores. And as far as the short-term borrowings is concerned, it is currently at 327 crores, as against Q2 of last year, which was at 648 crores. I'm now leaving the floor open for any questions that the management could answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. We'll take the first question from the line of Devang Shah from Invest Savvy. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I had a question regarding the utilization levels. Now, the presentation said that utilization for distilleries is around 90 to 95%, and the capacity was given as 417 KLPD including 120 KLPD coming in December 2022. So I wanted to know that is the current capacity 90%-95% of the 297 KLPD which is currently there, or you know, is it 90%-95% taking 417 itself?
No, the capacities what we are referring to as 90%-92% is on 297 lakh KLPD.
Okay.
And the Sankli project of 120 KLPD will come into operations from quarter four of this financial year.
Okay, so while it said December 22, you are saying production will start by when? By when would you expect production to start there?
The quarter four, beginning of quarter four, we should be able to have our commercial production commenced.
Okay, and when it starts, is there a lead time, like as in initially the capacity is lower and then it builds up, or how?
Yes, we have taken about around 15 to 20 days for the initial startup.
Yeah, so in Q4, what percentage of this capacity would you be able to utilize on an average?
The 3 months capacity, we should be able to, the 120 KLPD, we should be able to run syrup-based ethanol for the entire quarter.
Okay, so the full benefit should come in Q4. Great. Now, the other thing is that, you know, the sugar revenues have been dipping even though the sugar prices aren't down that much. So last two quarters, we've seen a sharp fall in the revenues in the sugar and the cogeneration segments. Now, what is the reason for that?
I didn't understand your question. Are you saying the revenues have come down?
Yeah.
I mean, the revenues are actually higher compared to what it was in the previous year.
Yeah, no, I'm saying quarter on quarter. Quarter on quarter, we've seen a dip from 7,695 to around 525 or something now.
Yeah, see, the sugar sale depends on the government release order. Based on the quantities that is restricted by the FPD, we sell our volumes. So what happens in a sugar year is between April to September, when we look at, the inventory levels will come down and gradually keep increasing from October. So the release order also is dependent on the closing stock of the industry. I mean, so naturally, between the March closing and the June closing, the inventory levels come down, and also the release order mechanism reduces for the quarter. So if you want to compare between quarter one and quarter two, there will always be a reduction in volume in quarter two, because the inventories would have got reduced, based on which the DFPD gives the release quota. Allows the release quota, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So you expect revenues to go up in this quarter?
Yes. When the production commences, the release mechanism also increases.
Okay, and what do you see as, last question, what do you see as the EBITDA for Q3? What guidance would you have for Q3 and Q4?
So we don't give forward guidance. I think we're encouraged by what we see on ground, but we don't give forward guidance. I think our whole program of expansion of sugarcane crush, running more efficient operations, more cost-effective operations, is giving encouraging signs. Also, the distillery segment coming in more strongly is giving encouraging signs. We don't give forward guidance, so I'll have to pass on that question.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Majumdar from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir, and thanks for taking my question. So my first question, sir, is normally this is a quarter when we see the cash flow go up a lot because of the inventory unwinding. But in this case, I'm seeing the standalone cash flow for operations has fallen significantly from 305 crores to 88 crores. Could you cite the reason why this has happened? Because normally 1H the cash flows go up a lot, and then we build up the inventory over 3Q and 4Q, the cash flows start coming off. So that was the first question.
Yeah, may I answer that? Yeah, as far as the cash flow is concerned, for the quarter two, there are few factors which has influenced. One is our September sales volumes were higher, because of which the receivables at the end of September has been higher. And we had also paid out some of our agri-financing loans during the quarter. So that is one reason where you will find the current liabilities also come down substantially during this quarter. So that is one reason where the operating cash flow has been lower, and it will get corrected itself in the subsequent quarter.
But why have the receivables gone up so much, sir, in this quarter? Any reason for that?
I didn't get you.
Why have the receivables gone up by so much in this quarter? Is it because of higher volumes?
There are two. I mean, one is volume increase in the month of the sales in September, and also there are certain receivables where it is receivable in the month of the third quarter. We have supplies made on a letter of credit, and we will be getting the payments in the third quarter.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, thanks. My second question was regarding the nutraceutical business. The domestic Nutra business has seen a sharp jump in the profitability, and the segment results are showing 5 crores over 22 crores. Now, that's a significant improvement over last year, over quarter on quarter, whatever you see it. So, is this a sustainable trend, because the margin is pretty high? Or is there, like, how do we read this number?
So, Rajesh, thanks for your question. I think reasons for this is, I think, some efficiency improvement exercises and some good demand in the U.S. and the European market. So if you look at our H1 numbers on nutraceuticals, where it's a small business, it's only a 60-70 crore business, but we are up to about PBIT levels of about north of 15%. I think it's about 17 or 18% to sales, which is sort of standard for this industry, for a well-done business in this industry. So this is on a lot of operational improvements that we've been working on for some time, and some reasonable demand. We remain hopeful for the rest of the year. One caveat, though, there are some changes to the European regulation, which has sort of brought about some changes to the certifying bodies and the manner of certification. So there may be a bit of a lag based on that. We're still trying to get into the detail and plan for that. So that may slow things down a little bit in the H2. But otherwise, we're quite hopeful for the nutraceutical business from a standalone perspective.
Yeah, and a follow-up question was, the console number still are losing some money. So do you see that also improving over the next few quarters?
So on the console, we will be in a burn mode for a while, because we are funding the B2C program, or the D2C program rather, out of the US subsidiary, the US wholly owned subsidiary of Valensa, the Flomentum business, which is the consumerization of the prostate health vertical, which is really our largest vertical at a console level in Nutra. So we will continue to be on a burn mode. I think what is encouraging there is that the Sao Palmetto berry crop, which sees harvesting in the sort of August to October period, has come out well this year. Our the cost of berry, the sort of overall COGS, have come in at a sort of a good level, less than the overall COGS of the berries last year. So I think this should help from a margin perspective as we go into Q4. We still have stock of last year's berries, and that will run Q3. But from a Q4 and the back end of the year perspective, a lot of the new stock will start coming into the COG, which is encouraging sign. But we will continue to be in a burn mode as we build that D2C business. We'll talk to you more about Flomentum. It's now at about an annual run rate of of $1 million, just north of $1 million this year. So it is slowly picking up, and we are focused on the ramp up there. That's why there is a negative on the console. It will be there for a while until we are able to really break out on the D2C side.
Right, sir. And what is the total amount of capital we expect to be employing in this nutraceutical business per annum?
I think, Sridhar, the current capital employed is about 275.
275 crores.
Yeah.
Including the...
So we're not... I don't see a drastic increase on the capital employed here, where the funding of this D2C scale-up is largely out of... revenue. That's why we're reporting a burn. It's largely out of revenue expenditure. We will determine basis how the Flowentum program goes, whether we need to capitalize the subsidiary company there further to aid the growth. But that's not a decision which we're looking at in the near future. We'll need some more time to see how things pan out.
And so my last question was, we have seen a very high quarter of refining margins in Q2 for most companies, and refined sugar margins have gone to the roof literally from September or even slightly earlier than that. But we have not seen any such reflection in our subsidiary results. So how do we read this? I mean, even in the best quarter, the subsidiary has failed to make any money.
Good afternoon, Suresh Kannan here. You're right in your observation that the wide premiums, which is the difference between the raw sugar and the refined sugar prices, went up. Though they all went up very close to the futures contract expiry, which I think is not 100% realizable by the most operating refiners globally. That being said, our own margins in terms of spreads improved in the second quarter of the year compared to the previous year substantially. Unfortunately, we were set back on account of the plant operation closure that arisen out of accident. But on the sale and the margin side, yes, we also got benefited on that account.
So that's a one-time expense you reported that on the accidents, which is there for the quarter, right?
That's right.
And how are the margins prevailing now in the third quarter or on a say 45-day basis over last quarter?
Yeah, at the moment, the margins have softened a little bit from the peak that what we have seen, but they still remain strong. And the evolution of the developments, especially of how the Indian sugar flows out in the global market in terms of white and refined sugar, that will determine the forward white premium. So in a nutshell, yes, the things have improved. However, the peak level that what we have seen in the second quarter period, that I think will be very difficult to expect it to come again.
And what's the utilization of the refinery right now?
Yeah, barring the outage on account of accident, the refinery has been running flat out to the extent of 90% of its capacity.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ritwik Sheth from One Up Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I have a few questions. So firstly, what is the landed cost of cane for us?
I mentioned about it. The landed cost of cane is 3,062 rupees for the quarter.
Okay, so that is landed cost.
It will change subsequently in the quarter 3 and quarter 4 when the crushing season starts.
Sure.
As of for the quarter, it is 3,062 per metric ton.
Okay, sure. And so with current 297 KLPD, we are almost running flat out. So, you know, we are at about 9 crore of ethanol from the current capacity. What is our expectation from the next two plants, you know, 120 KLPD at Sankli and another 120 KLPD that we have just announced? Would it be higher, in terms of volume, or, you know, if you can throw, what would be the peak ethanol sales that we can do once both these capacities are commissioned?
So, Ritvik, each 120 KLPD plant should add about 3 to 3.25 crore liters of alcohol.
Okay.
So, you will go up close to 6.5 to 7 crore liters.
Sure. So, we'll be close to 15-16 crore liters by FY24 end.
Right.
No, so you will be closer to 17 or 18.
17. Sure. And so with our existing crushing capacity, is there any scope for further increasing the capacity beyond FY24? I know it's a bit out, but with our existing 40,000 tons per day capacity, are we reaching near the peak with this 537 KLPD once both these plants are commissioned, or what can be the peak distillery capacity that we can?
So Ritvik, you are getting close to the peak. We have two standalone sugar mills.
Hmm.
One is a lease model and one is a sort of conventional model. We haven't determined yet, whether we need to add capacity there. With existing distilleries, you might see small augmentations.
Hmm.
So I think you will answer to your question is with the new capacity expansion that's announced, it will be largely spoken for in terms of the feedstock to the distillery capacity desired sort of balance that we want to have.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we will determine at a future date whether anything further needs to be done. Parallelly, we will also look at small augmentations in existing units basis what market realities are.
Okay, sure. And so my final question is on the refinery bit. In the presentation, we have mentioned that the spreads are about $45 per ton, but the conversion cost has gone up to $50 per ton plus. So, that's a negative EBITDA margin for us. So, how do we look at this, refinery business? Because on a consistent basis, I believe we have been unable to, get some positive traction on this. So, just wanted your thoughts on this.
Yeah. Sure. I think what we are seeing in the refining margins is basically a lag effect that what you have identified from the charts. Whilst the energy prices have gone up and have started softening, there was a reaction in terms of the white premium availability in the market was it took time. The second one is, of course, the refinery has additional revenue streams over and above the spread what you see in that chart, because we upsell our sugar as the Pari brand sugar, as a result of which we also get some cash premium, which is over and above the spread that's available on the exchange as it is. So as we speak, both the base level of spreads as well as the cash that's available over and above the spreads have improved for the refinery operation, and therefore we are in a position to cover the cost of refining. And I think the picture what you've seen for last year is basically indication of the lag.
Okay.
Just to answer the second half of the question, there has been improvement as far as the refinery bottom line is concerned, and in fact the last three consecutive quarters, we have been operating on a cash positive and cash positive plus basis. We were on the same momentum in the second quarter also, but for the special events, we could have continued the journey.
Okay. And so you mentioned that there was a one-time expense. Can you quantify that amount in Q2?
So out of this one time, we have cluster of these expenses. One is relating to the vessel waiting, because in sugar is sold delivered on a vessel. So the vessel waiting charges, which we call as demurrage, what we are likely to incur, that has been taken in. And of course, there is also a mark to market element as part of that number that we have reported, which is purely based on the forex movement. And I think as the foreign exchange keeps changing, this gets reflected in our financial report. But we are a US dollar based company and we hedge our exposures to that extent. It's not a settled loss.
Okay. Sure, sir. That's it from my side. All the best and thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Anushri from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. So, I just wanted to know if you can explain.
Please use the handset mode. The audio is not clear from your line.
Hello. Am I clear now?
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to know your outlook on the refinery business and what are the spreads that we are looking at and what spreads do we expect going forward. And also, so just correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding of spread is that it's the difference between London white sugar and New York raw sugar prices, which was around $135 per ton as of November 22. So it would be really helpful if you could explain the difference between our reported print and these numbers. And also what other numbers are taken into consideration for calculating these spreads, like the shipping cost, logistics, energy, and how much are these numbers on a per ton basis. So I just wanted to get an idea how do we arrive at the said spread.
Thank you. The numbers that what you have quoted in terms of the difference in the raw sugar and refined sugar prices is what we call as a white premium. This is basically based on the exchange. These are FOB and two FOB terms. So there is a cost of originating the sugar that needs to be netted off from the sugar, and that varies depending upon the sourcing, whether we source from Brazil, we source from India. So these origination costs, which is in terms of freight and other expenses, can be in the region of $50 to $60 depending on the market. And that's how the spread is calculated, starting from the difference. The other one, of course, the elevated values that you see are more synthetic. They are not directly transferable to physical businesses because this is the difference between two exchanges is what we see as a derivative. And typically this flares up at some market event, not necessarily due to the fundamental market condition.
Okay. And what do you expect for the refinery business? Like how can it, so what spreads are we looking for and going in the next quarter and for the full year?
Typically we are still seeing a tightness as far as the trade flow of refined sugar is concerned. So as long as this buoyancy in demand post COVID opening and the tightness in supply continues, I think the white premiums will remain. May not reach the elevated the higher levels than what we have seen as I said earlier, but we will be able to see these spreads maintaining probably at the region of $45 to $50 per ton level. And beyond a quarter, it will depend on basically how the Indian exports, pans out. So that can have a positive or a negative impact on this spreads and margins.
And so at what spreads can we break even? At what spread level?
I think if all other factors are in place, I think our break even would be in the region of around $40 to $45 of spread.
Sorry, I didn't get to what was the current spread this quarter?
This quarter we realized around $50.
Okay. Thank you. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I would like to understand what is happening on the farmer agitation front in Karnataka. So we are hearing that there is a demand for revision of SAP, and they are demanding an SAP of 3,500 if I am not wrong. And there is also some committee being set up for sharing of the profits or byproducts of sugar cane, like ethanol, etc. So could you just shed some light on this?
So, Nitin, thanks for your question. Yes, we have seen a lot of pharma agitations around Karnataka. Two of our mills started on time in Ramdurg and in Bagalkot. In the Haliyal mill, we had a bit of a delayed start because there were agitations. And I think agitations across the state have been on account of obviously farmers wanting a better price. We only pay FRP, so we don't deviate from that stance. Our mill in Haliyal is now running. I think agitations have sort of been diffused. Our mill is running. There are these murmurs in terms of what you had said, but nothing is officially been notified to us by the government authorities. So I think we continue to push forward basis the existing pricing directions that we have. Thus far, we have not heard anything from Karnataka government with regard to an FAP, and so we will sort of respond or to you know these realities once they are officially notified to the company. But that's the current situation. Agitations across the state, some have been diffused, some continue to remain in different geographies of the state. But our mills are now functioning for the season. And we are sort of focused on delivering our sort of remit in terms of numbers.
Got it, sir. And you're saying there has been no communication where you have been called by the state government on the profit sharing mechanism?
As I said, there's been no official notification. I mean, we are hearing similar murmurs like you, so we always keep our eyes peeled and our ears to the ground. But, you know, we can only respond once there are official notifications given.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gautam Dedia from Nalanda Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to know, like, in these one-time expenses that we've recorded in the refinery, do we have any insurance cover or anything that we can benefit from?
Yeah, we have insurance covering a certain portion of these losses. So we are working with the agencies in terms of survey claim process, and it's at an early stage for us to comment fully.
Okay. And just one of your presentation slides mentioned that you want to reduce the cost of production for your cost of conversion. So what is the goal by FY25? So it's at 50 right now.
Yeah, our goal is basically to go back to our earlier level. See, for us, more than the absolute number, what matters is being at the lowest cost bracket of refining, because the rest of it we expect the market to take care of in terms of large changes in the cost inputs. Our basic aim is to go back to the levels that what we have achieved in the past.
Okay. And so one last question is, in the last 6 months, how many refineries have shut down? Have there been any major refineries that have shut down because of these energy prices?
Well, not that we hear of in this part of the world, but where there has been acute fuel shortages or fuel price increases, there have been some outages that we are hearing in Europe and some part of the Mediterranean. There are also export bans that have been put on some refineries because of the local government consideration of food security and other related development.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajkumar Vaidyanathan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have three questions. So if you permit me, I'll ask all the questions that you want to go and then you can answer. The first question is, given the good rains in Tamil Nadu for the current year and the past year, just wanted to know, would we expect our units in Pugalur, Nellikuppam, Sivaganga to have a record production in the days to come? And also, you know, to be helpful, if you could give some numbers, YOY, in terms of how better it would be. Extending the same point, I just want to, are we looking at any organic and inorganic opportunities in Tamil Nadu, given that, you know, the state is coming out of a very long, lean season, from a sugar standpoint? And then the second question is, are there any dues from the Tamil Nadu Electricity Board? Because I believe there was some settlement done, so just want to know what if there is any amount and if there is any other income booked during the quarter. And lastly, the third question is, with the revival in global carbon credit market, just want to know, would that be any meaningful impact to our bottom line in the short to medium term?
So, Rajkumar, thanks for your question. I'm going to answer three of them and sort of defer one to Sridhar. In terms of TN rains, and we've had good monsoons last year, the current year as well will be a good monsoon. There are increased cane areas in Tamil Nadu. Both mills Nellikuppam and Pugalur will see better volumes of cane crust. I think we've talked about that as an encouraging sign earlier in this call and perhaps in the previous quarter as well, where we see as a company volumes of cane crust going up across all our areas. Karnataka, we have a new mill, the Pudukkote mill, which was transferred to the Karnataka unit. So we will see a higher volume of cane crush. Cane availability in Karnataka, of course, is not an issue. In TN as well, we do expect to see improved cane crush numbers on the back of, a larger cane area, which has been planted over the last 2 years. So that's on the TN piece. In terms of inorganic opportunities in Tamil Nadu, no, we are not looking at inorganic opportunities in Tamil Nadu. We obviously studied our history deeply, and we also studied perhaps opportunities which are available to us at this point in time. On an EBITDA per ton basis, we don't believe these will be accretive, even though they may be a distressed asset. I think ultimately you need a very sort of good, well-performing, sugar and distillery business. And we don't believe that the assets which are available will be EBITDA per ton accretive to where we are. You will, I guess, respect that we're already an amalgamated EBITDA per ton player because of our interest across three states where EBITDA per tons are different. So, again, we're not looking at inorganic in Tamil Nadu. From a carbon credit perspective, we're doing some initial work to see what's possible. So it's too early to comment beyond that. I think as part of the larger ESG compliance and, being more ESG-centric or ESG-centricity as a company, I think we're sort of studying that in a more broader sense, and carbon credits also finds place in that. But it's too early to comment. I think when we have data points, we can share with all of you. I will defer to Sridhar on the TNEB.
Yeah, sir, on the same point, so I know that you're not looking at an inorganic opportunity. So how about, is there a chance to expand the capacities in Pugalur and Nellikuppam, or do you think you want to wait for some more time to leave?
I think the mills in both locations can, in Nellikuppam, we have crushed 17 lakh tons of cane at one point. At some point in the last 10 years, we have done that when we had good cane availability. So I think both the mills can still perhaps do better. So we will focus on strengthening our operations in both these mills.
Yeah. So you think you can sweat these assets some more? That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir.
This is Sridhar Yah, and with reference to your specific question on if there is any outstanding from Tamil Nadu Electricity Board, I would like to state there is no dues from Tamil Nadu Electricity Board. Those disputes are more pertaining to the PPA arrangements which was there with many of the sugar companies with Tamil Nadu Electricity Board, and we do not have any such PPA arrangement.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rajesh Majumdar from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Just a follow-up question. So our alcohol sales was about 8.5 crore liters in FY22, and as per our current expansion going on, excluding the one we've announced now, we'll go up to about 14 crore liters. Is that the first question? Is that right assumption?
Reasonably fair, maybe slightly less than that.
And the new one will add another 3.5 to 4 crore liters? Is that also correct?
No, new one will add about 3.25. Yeah, 3.25.
So we are coming to a total of about 17.5 crore liters at the end of the, all the expansions. That's a fair assumption?
Fair assumption, yeah.
And so my next question is, to achieve this kind of alcohol volume, say by FY25 whenever, to maintain our sugar output at 500,000 tons or slightly more than that, what is the kind of cane crushed volume that we should look at?
So, I mean, we look at the current year, right? So, you're already, I think, we expect volumes to be slightly north of where they are last year. To the Rajkumar's question earlier on, we will try in all our units to work more efficiently to, you know, take up that throughput and take up the cane crush volumes. So to some extent, we don't foresee adding any milling capacity. I think increased cane crush volumes will really be brought about by focusing on more efficient operations and more efficient energy management. So yeah, you're right. I think while we lose more sugar to ethanol, we will sort of make good that loss by running our plants better, so that we stay with the same levels of output in terms of sugar. Also, from a sugar perspective, you have seen our investor presentation of the end of FY22, a substantial amount which goes towards institutional sugar as well as retail sugar. So the focus will largely be on that. And, you know, if we need to lose trade volumes, then that's a balance that we will determine basis market realities.
But sir, in Karnataka, merchant cane is available, right? So can we not take the volume from, say, 500 crore to 600 crore kg, or is that too much of an assumption?
Sorry, I didn't get that question.
I'm saying that in Karnataka, we do get merchant cane, right? There's no issue of adding to cane volume, provided we have crushing capacity. So can we not take the volume, which is currently at 274 crore kgs, to about, say, 300 plus crore kgs in Karnataka?
So I think we'll, as I said, Darish, we'll determine that based on market realities, right? I think if there's a global huge surplus of sugar and sugar price comes down, then, you know, you want to be selling more sugar. You'd rather be selling sugar in retail or in institution and, you know, sacrificing to ethanol. So then perhaps you'll be better off, you know, sweating your current assets better, rather than actually adding more milling capacity. So that's a balance, I think, which we will determine.
So actually my problem was to balance this alcohol volume. If I don't take a substantial increase in the cane volume, I have to cut down my sugar production rate. Is that what I should do? Yeah.
No, I think the way the distillery has been planned is in such a way that the available current cane volumes matching with the current capacity should be able to feed the distilleries. We have to trade off between sugar and the ethanol. Which one is giving us the better profitability that we should be able to have. I don't think we need to increase the cane volumes at the current level to manage the distillery inputs in terms of molasses.
Okay. Got it.
Mr. Majumdar, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah. Suresh here. Thank you everyone for joining this call. We will see you in the Q3 analyst call. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.